the most profound thought that you could ever think, and the greatest truth you could ever embrace is the fact that Jesus loves me, this I know. So thank you, Matt, for sharing that. Good morning. It is good to see you. Good to see you. Jesus was asked, which is the first and foremost commandment? Jesus answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And a second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you haven't memorized that passage, I don't see how you couldn't have. We've been studying it all of January. And now I want to focus in on the second. A second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What does that look like? What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? There's a lot found in Jesus' statement, but I want to go to the text that Matt read for us, 1 Corinthians 13. In the verses immediately following what Matt just read, we find love's definition. This is a God kind of love. And you want to know what it means to love your neighbor as yourself, then study this definition. We're blessed in God's family because not only can we read and study and delve into the Word of God to see what God's will for us is and what His love is all about and what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves, but we also have living examples. Living examples. And one of those I just must highlight this morning is an 82-year-old lady named Betty Wheeler that has cared for her daughter in a tremendous way. What a lesson of what it means to love. So let's remember Miss Betty and support her in every way and learn from her. Learn from her about it, what it means to love. 1 Corinthians 13, in the first few words, love is patient. But I want to suggest that we remember it by this phrase, love is long. Love is long. The word that's used there, love is patient. In the New King James, it has love suffers long, comes from two root words, one meaning long and the other meaning passion or wrath. It could be translated long wrath. What does that mean? You have heard it said, he or she has a short fuse, haven't you? And we understand by that, well, I have a short fuse. That means it doesn't take much to get me upset. Just say the right word or the wrong word, and the response is anger or frustration. Do something that I don't like, and I quickly get offended. That's what it means to be short fused. If you get that imagery, now look at the opposite of that. What would it mean then to be long fused? That's what Paul is talking about. Love has a long fuse. It's not easily angered or upset. We need to remember that in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, as love is defined for us, that these words are verbs. They're not adjectives. Love is patient. Patient is an adjective, but it's a verb here. And so King James has it translated, love suffers long. That's in the verb tense. And that's what love does. Love suffers long. Or love long fuses. And every time, almost every time, we see this word used in Scripture, it has to do with being patient or long-suffering towards people. Towards people. A church father, Chrysostom, said of this word, it's a word which is used of a man who is wronged and who has it easily in his power to avenge himself, but will never do it. So what's the message? What is love? What does it mean to love our neighbor as ourself? One aspect of it is love is long fused. love is long fused. There's another statement in this very definition in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Love is not provoked. Or you may have in your Bible, love is not easily angered. Peterson states in his paraphrase, love doesn't fly off the handle. I like that. It's slow to become angry. The word that's used here, one of the words, deals with our reactions. What happens when we're treated rudely, or when we're misunderstood, or when we're attacked or lied about, ignored, or even abused? What's our response? Some possible responses are to be irritated or to be angry, to even have an outburst of anger, or to curse, or to give the look. And you know what I'm talking about. But the challenge here is, love is not easily angered. Love suffers long. What does that look like? Let's consider some applications of love is long. Love is going to be patient, long-suffering in marriage. And this is one of the salient qualities that separates the real thing, what love really is, with those cheap substitutes. You want a picture of it? Consider Genesis chapter 29. Jacob has left home. He's had trouble with his brother Esau. He goes back to Mesopotamia, to his uncle Laban's house. And by God's providence, Rachel comes out his way with her sheep. And he falls in love. Genesis 29:18. Now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, I will serve you, he says to Laban, her father, I will serve you 7 years. For Rachel, your younger daughter. 7 years. But notice Genesis 29, verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Isn't that beautiful? Love suffers long. Love is patient. Love waits. Even when Laban pulled the old switcheroo and Jacob discovered it was Leah that he had married, he worked 7 more years in order to marry Rachel. The cheap substitutes say, I want what I want now. But true love waits. True love waits. It's one aspect of love is long. Love is patient in listening. Love is patient in listening. In Acts 26, verse 3, we find the word used again. And it's the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking to King Agrippa. And he says, I beg you, listen to me patiently. Suffer with me. Hear me out. You see, listening is not just a matter of the sound of someone's voice going in your ear. It involves truly, patiently hearing what they have to say. Sometimes we're not very good at listening, are we? Sometimes I think you remember the Peanuts cartoons. You remember when the teacher would speak in the classroom and it sounds something like womp, womp, womp. That's sometimes how we listen. It's just noise. But to really listen and to listen patiently and to listen lovingly means that we listen intently. James 1:19, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And it applies in marriage, in our family relationships. Listen to your children. Listen to people on the job. Listen to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Take the time. Listen patiently. Because love patiently listens. Another application is love is patient with the flaws and annoyances of others. Ephesians 4 verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Love suffers long. means those things that may annoy us or the flaws that we see in others, that we are patient. We're patient. We suffer long. Another application is love is patient with spiritual immaturity. And I think this especially applies in what Paul was addressing in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's in the middle, obviously, of chapters 12 and 14, which has to do with the abuse of miraculous spiritual gifts in the first century. And Paul is writing to confront these Christians about their misuse and abuse and the envy and the jealousy that was all wrapped up in it. And sandwiched between those instructions is this chapter of love, the more excellent way. And he's teaching them and he's teaching us that when it comes to our relationships with one another, what should guide our relationships is love. And that we suffer long, even when others are being immature. We suffer long with them. Also, another application, love is patient when wronged. Jesus was asked by Peter, "How many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" You remember Jesus' answer? No, not up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And that doesn't mean we get out a pen and paper and we keep track. And when we reach 490, we say that's it. He's saying it's to be unlimited. Love is patient. Love suffers long when wronged. And we could go on and on with application, but the bottom line is that we should allow that patience that comes from love, we should include that in every aspect of our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "We exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." And all is all. There's no relationship in your life in which you're not to show agape love. And love suffers long. So how do we do that? How do we learn to suffer long? How do we learn to be more patient with others? I want to be very practical and suggest some ways. Number one is to seek God's help. It's to seek God's help. Long-suffering, we're told in Galatians 5, is a fruit of the Spirit. It's thus something that the Spirit of God produces in our lives as we cooperate with Him. And so we need God's help to be able to suffer long with others. Number two, consider why people do the things they do. Consider why people do the things they do. Some of you are teachers, have served as teachers, and I'm reminded of this when I taught at Mobile Christian High School Bible, along with Matt and others, for 4 years. The overwhelming majority of those students were just wonderful. They were a joy to teach. But there were one or two that would give me trouble from time to time. But when I think about those, I remember one in particular. He just wouldn't pay attention, and he was often disruptive in class. And I remember being called into a teacher's meeting. And they told me about this student and what he was going through at home. And it all began to make sense. And I was able to look at him differently and be more understanding. And it doesn't excuse bad behavior, but it does help us understand. People act or say the things that they say and do for a reason. And we would do well to ask those questions. Is he or she worried about something? Are they anxious about something? What's going on in their lives? It'll help us suffer long. Number three, we need to practice the golden rule. For us to be impatient with other people is to forget that we also make mistakes. And we want people to be long-suffering with us, don't we? Then we must be willing to be long-suffering with others. Whatever you want men to do to you, Jesus says, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Number four, think about the effects of impatience. Think about what we do and what we say and what we regret when we're impatient with others. And it makes these proverbs really resonate with us. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Proverbs 29, verse 11. 14:29 says, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. By having a short fuse, by having a quick temper, we act in more and more foolish ways every day. I love this statement. Folks who fly into a rage always make a bad landing. And how many of us can identify with those bad landings? Number five, change your focus. Change your focus. Consider this statement. Some people get angry because God put thorns among the roses. Other people praise Him for putting roses among the thorns. And the message is, what are we focused on? Are we focused on the roses, the good things about people, or the blemishes, the thorns? If we're going to suffer long, we need to change our focus to look for the roses among the thorns. Next, we need to look to Jesus, our highest example. 1 Peter chapter 2. For this purpose you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. What example is that? Peter continues. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. When they hurled their insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His own body, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds, or by His stripes, you have been healed. Do you see that? When they spat upon Him, when they cursed Him, when they mocked Him, how did Jesus respond? He died for them on the cross. And finally, how do we become more long-suffering? We remember how patient God is with us. 2 Peter 3:9, the word long-suffering is found. This time it's said of God toward us. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God does not exact immediate judgment upon those who wrong Him. If He did, who would have a chance? If anyone has the right to limit His patience, it's a holy God, and if He were not patient with us, none of us would be here today. And if such a holy God, who could justly demand that we pay for our sins immediately, is willing to be patient with us, how much more should we as sinful creatures be patient with others? You want to become more long-suffering? Consider how much patience God has with me and you. He's still working on me. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. And each of us can sing that song, and it'd be very, very true. And if God is so patient with us, shouldn't we be patient with others? Love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus says. What does that look like? One way it looks is by suffering long. And our ultimate example is God. and Jesus, who gave his life for us. He's long-suffering, he's patient, he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all of us to come to repentance. And so that's why we have this opportunity, even this morning, to respond to his love. And perhaps there's someone or some ones this morning that need to do just that. That you're ready to become a child of God. You're ready to be baptized into Christ so your sins can be washed away. It's the patience, the loving patience of God that has given us this time until now in order to accept that offer. We hope and pray that if you're ready to confess the name of Jesus, having turned from sin and repentance, and are ready to be baptized into Christ, we hope and pray you'll do that even today. If we've been impatient with others, there's some changes we need to make. Because love suffers long. If you need the prayers of the church, if you're going through some difficulty, you need the prayers of the church for, if you need to come back home as one who's wandered away, God patiently awaits. He rejoices when we come back to him. If you need to respond, please do so right now as we stand and sing.